The Mace Finnegan and Donick 102.5, the game, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. Pleased to be joined on our phone line, driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com, by the Athletics media reporter, Richard Deitch. Richard, thank you so much for joining us. How are you today?
I'm good, although I have to be honest with you guys. I may never listen to a sports podcast again. I may never watch the NFL again because I just can't get over the fact that Taylor Swift is appearing on New Heights. I'm gonna boycott everything. In another line of people claiming to boycott X and then never following through. Otherwise, I am excellent, gentlemen. Good to be with you guys.
That's good to know. So, Richard, a lot happening in the world of sports media, which is why we wanted to have you on the program. So let's start with the ESPN NFL deal. When a major trade goes down in any sport, we rush to label winners and losers. So let's do that exercise for this mega deal between ESPN and the NFL. Who are the biggest winners and losers of this deal? And it does not have to be limited to ESPN and the NFL.
No, look at that. You want me to do trade grades, man? All right. Let's put my thinking cap on. Well, certainly the NFL is a major winner. And that's really not surprising because when it comes to financial deals, the NFL almost always wins. They win because they have the leverage when it comes to the most important thing, and that's their content. And in particular, if you want to be specific, game inventory. That's the most valuable content, I would say, right now in the United States. And that's why the NFL can dictate so many terms that they have. So in exchange for what they gave to ESPN, you know, NFL Network, rights to Red Zone Digital, this sort of incorporation between the two bodies, you know, they get 10% stake of ESPN. You know, if you do the valuation on that, I mean, that's massive. I don't know if ESPN's ever going to be sold or spun off, but like, you know, the whatever that dollar figure is, it's only going to go up. And so the biggest winner is the NFL. I think ESPN is a winner as well, and here's why. The relationship that you have to have if you're an ESPN or a Peacock or a Paramount Plus or Netflix, you have to have a relationship with the NFL and a significant one, or your business is cooked as we head forward. The NFL is the driver that people ultimately pay for when it comes to parting with their money for stuff. And this deal really, I mean, the NFL and ESPN, obviously, they're longstanding partners. They have a deal, but this really solidifies them as financial partners. And so if nothing else, does it guarantee like past 2029 they'll be part of the NFL media ecosystem? No, but I'd have to think it maybe gives them a leg up on Fox and NBC and CBS Skydance Paramount. So if you're ESPN, this really, I think, sets your business up into the next decade. You have a significant relationship with your most important content vendor. And you now have, you know, the most important sport in the country when it comes to your direct-to-consumer business, which is what ESPN is now going to launch on August 21st. It's a little under $30. It's really appealing to people who've never had cable, a lot of young people who, you know, just want the sports that are on ESPN. And the NFL now is a central figure within that proposition. So I would say ESPN is a winner. I would say the NFL is a winner. I don't know if fans are losers per se, because I think if you're a diehard NFL fan, you probably have access to the NFL already. So maybe they're net neutral, a little net positive. And then lastly, and quite frankly, I don't think many people even care as much about this anymore. I would say investigative journalism at ESPN probably long-term is a loser. It's not to say they won't do stuff, because they have some great reporters there, including Dan Van Natta Jr., but when you make a relationship like this, I do wonder, you know, how many resources you're going to really throw to something like concussions or something like that, or things that the NFL really, really does not want examined in the public sphere. We're not talking about like trades. The NFL doesn't care about that. The NFL doesn't care about if a head coach gets fired. That's all you guys know. That's daily radio fodder. It's the stuff that really can hurt the business long term that they care about. So if I had to say a loser in this long term, it's probably hardcore investigative journalism at ESPN regarding the stuff the NFL really doesn't want you to know.
Richard, how do you anticipate the NFL will address the fact that that it will be in position to directly profit off sports gambling because of its relationship with ESPN, which licenses its name to a sports book.
The NFL and hypocrisy, my man.
Not at all.
You're so quaint. I enjoy it. I don't think the NFL cares one bit. The NFL's in the business of gambling. I mean, I always thought you know how Al Michaels like historically would do like the cheeky stuff at the end of games. You know, somebody's really happy about this. Folks in the desert are really busy. It is so silly that the NFL will not just be open with this relationship when it comes to sports gambling and themselves. The fact that they don't they don't actually push the networks to have like spreads during game broadcast is absurdly silly to me. Like, they're in the business of this. They have big sponsorships with, as you mentioned, gambling houses already. It's like, it really truly is like a living example of the famous Casablanca scene when, you know, and Sidney Greenstreet gets his winnings from Humphrey Bogart. I mean, it's just silly. It's just not above board. And so I don't think they care. I think we have seen this with basketball, and we'll see what happens with baseball for sure with some of this stuff. I think where the NFL really cares is they care about a player gambling scandal, you know, or a coach gambling scandal. That's when they really care, because, you know, when you examine all these leagues and talk to people who are executives in the league, the one thing that could really, really hurt the league is if the public doesn't believe stuff's on the up and up, right? If they don't believe that player X is trying their hardest, player Y is trying their hardest, or, like, let's say somebody in coaching is manipulating the system. So I think when it comes to sports gambling, that's the kind of scandal that they really care about most. I don't think they care about optics or anything like that. And I just want to say this, just in terms of my own personal opinion. You know, I'm not a morality player here on this. Like, I actually think the fact that this stuff is legal probably gives all these leagues a better opportunity to catch bad actors, because the official books will alert them when there's a really, like, suspect bet, you know, especially like a suspect prop bet. And so, you know, it was a long-winded way to answer your question. Like, honestly, I don't think the NFL cares. I mean, the NFL is involved in all this stuff. They like to pretend that, you know, they're a little above board, but they're not. They're looking to create as much capital and as much finances as they can, and the gambling industry is a gigantic white whale for them.
Now, Richard, has the NFL sort of found themselves in this sort of rarefied air? Because we talk about some companies in the world where you're just too big to fail. We can't let you fail. And we know who those companies are, whether it's banks or, you know, automotive companies. Has the NFL gotten to that point where they are too big to fail?
First of all, I hope they one of those companies in the United States of America, because I got a bleep load of money in the market. So let's make sure like that we don't have defaults. Mm-hmm. Let's do the right thing there. Yeah, I would say the NFL is too big to fail. I used to, like, when I was far more active on Twitter, I used to find it hilarious. Like, people would come on and say, like, look at this study that, like, you know, in this town, like, there's less kids playing high school football. Kids aren't going to play football. Like, there's always been alarmists when it comes to the NFL, and, like, somehow, like, people are going to turn away from it. What on earth have you seen in terms of American culture where people are not obsessive about the National Football League? You can make an argument. It's one of the few things left in American life that's actually communal, where you can get people of different races, different political persuasions, different genders, et cetera, like, who rally around, like, something, whether it's watching their favorite team or watching the sport itself. They're whatever the, you know, the revenue is at this point, you know, 25 million, well, I 25 billion, whatever the number is, I should know it, but I don't. Like, it is inconceivable that business somehow could start to decline, because in an era of declining cable subscriptions and viewers, in an era of declining linear television viewers, the NFL has held up on all of this. Like, the numbers continue to remain strong. So they've beaten market forces. The game is as popular as ever. The athletes are better than we've ever seen before. The game is a perfect television game because the inventory is limited, 17 weeks, right, regular season. It's scarcity. It's a perfect sport to gamble. It's a perfect sport to play fantasy football because you can manage this stuff because it's once a week as opposed to, let's say, baseball where you got to manage it every day. So, no. I mean, honestly, if I was, like, betting on the companies or sectors in the United States that have the best possible future, like 20 years from now. Like, I would have the NFL probably up there with like things like AI. I don't see anything maybe short of like massive scandal, and this isn't going to happen, where like 100 players in the NFL are like throwing games or something like that. I don't see anything that's going to reduce the American obsession for the sport. So I think you have a really good phrase there. I actually think they are too big to fail, certainly in 2025.
Now, with that being said, do you think, because the show before ours, Big Joe and Chase, Chase brought up yesterday, I believe, that he believes one day, because of what's happening with the streaming and all these mergers, that we will be paying for a Super Bowl. Do you think there will be a day where we have to pay single for a Super Bowl to watch it?
Well, I haven't been on with Chase in a long time, but I love the fact that he's still being, he's like Blade Runner, looking at post apocalyptic future. Yeah. Hold on. Mm-hmm. You have to tell me the time frame, mm-hmm. okay? Like, I don't think this is going to happen in the next 20 years, okay? Mm-hmm. 25 years, no. But if you ask me, like, let's do 2025, okay? If you ask me in 2075, like, would the NFL be on some kind of streamer or some kind of product where you have to subscribe to watch, I would say yes. So to me, it's more about just your time frame. Mm-hmm. Some of this is, you know, it's very hard to answer the question perfectly because, you know, you'd have to know what the state of the government is, because I do think congressional, like I think whatever Congress is at that point, like I do think government would come in and really make it hard for the National Football League to do this, because I think their constituents would be like, you got to keep this on whatever, quote unquote, over the air airwaves. But I just think everything is heading in that direction. This would be the last thing to go. So if you're talking about a 50-year time frame, this is just a guess of mine. You know, obviously, mm-hmm. people who aren't even born yet, you know, like we're talking about, I just think they're going to be born into a world where you're used to, like, paying for a streaming product. Mm-hmm. So 2075, my answer would be yes. 2050, I still think my answer is no.
And that's why I asked before I pass it to Willie, because we have to, like, certain games, if you want to watch during the year, say if I don't have Peacock, I got to buy Peacock to watch that game. So the Correct. NFL knows what they're doing. So eventually, maybe, it may be like what you said, it may not be for another 50 years. But I'm not sure if they could dangle that out there long enough to have it where people are not paying for it. Because even if they tack $2 charge to it, I think people are going to buy it.
By the way, keep in mind, you're using the example of the Super Bowl. If you ask me that question about the conference championship, uh-huh. I'm going the under on 25.
Oh,
games.
Okay.
So this is, it's just the one, that is the one game, because that is the singular biggest cultural event in the United States where my time frame would be longer. Mm-hmm. But if you ask me NFL conference championships, World Series, NBA finals, I would say all of them be on a streaming product or some version of a streaming product. The Super Bowl will be, at least in my opinion, the last one to go. I think the public is going to get to a point where streaming, where again, we just think of Netflix or we think of Peacock or we think of Amazon Prime in the same way we thought of back in the day, ABC, CBS, NBC. I think it's just going to be part of your discretionary, you know, budget in the same way, like you pay for, like Wi-Fi. I think that's the direction we're heading. And then obviously all this stuff is going to be about pricing. You know, what a lot of our conversation here about today is all these places have to figure out what the right price is, because they're all afraid of churn. They don't want you to like sign up for a month and then leave. This is why things like, you know, UFC is no longer going with a pay-per-view model with Skydance Paramount Plus, because there's like the thought process is if you love this product, you're willing to stay with us for 12 months for a reduced cost than it would normally cost you to pay for the pay-per-view version.
We're talking to Richard Deitch. He covers sports media for The Athletic. Richard, you came out with Tom Brady's first three and probable fourth game for Fox. And I'm curious, you did a lot of reporting last year on his training process to get ready to be thrown right into the top team on Fox. And I think we would all agree he was not a natural. He got better as the season went along. And I'm curious if you had any insights on what he's done to try to get better for this year.
Yeah, you're like, it's like Pacino. I thought I was done with Brady. I thought it was out. Now you're bringing me back in. Unbelievable. All right. I guess I got to talk about the highest paid sports broadcaster in the United States. Well, I expect him to be better. And this is, I mean, the three of you know this. You're better right now, right, than you were a year ago just because of all the reps you've had in the last year. I mean, you know, Willie knows this obviously from doing games. It's the same exact thing. So Brady will just be better just because, like, things like a producer in his ear during a game talking, like, that he's now going to be used to that. You know, a better cadence for how long you have between plays to discuss things. He's going to be better on that. He just knows the rhythms of the job better. So there's no way he's not going to be better just because of the mechanics of it. The interesting thing with Brady, and again, I don't know if there's a solution to this, the fact that he's an owner or has ownership stake in Las Vegas, I think is always going to hold him back a little bit because he ultimately like works for a team. He's part of the league. And I don't know how far he could really go in his analysis because of like that inherent conflict. There's a little bit of lack of freedom that he has. So I think he always will have a ceiling. I think he could be good. And I think by the end of the year, he was getting close to whatever like good is, you know, like B minus B. To me right now, Troy Aikman is the best analyst on who's doing NFL games right now. And I find him to be the best. One, he's got great chemistry with Joe Buck, but I find him to be the best because there's a freedom in his analysis. He doesn't care about how the league feels about something or how even viewers sometimes feel about something. He's sort of speaking his truth to what he sees in front of him. And I don't know if Brady could ever get to that ceiling, but I do think Brady could get to the level of like a solid B. And if you're a solid B, in some ways the games take care of themselves because he and Kevin Burkhart will always call an A game for the most part. It might not turn out to be an A game because it's a blowout or something like that, but every week he is going to call games that people care about, at least at kickoff. So as long as he's sitting there at like, you know, like a above average analyst, I think, one, I know Fox will be happy with that. And two, I think in some ways the public will be fine with it. He wasn't an absolute disaster. And in some ways, when I was thinking about him last year, I think that was really the biggest bar he had to clear. He just couldn't be deer in headlights, you know, like really.
Sidney,
you know,
Brady, like, on the Brady's Bunch, right?
Yeah, if you go back really, really old school, like Joe Montana, Emmitt Smith.
He was bad.
It just didn't work. And for Brady, he was comfortable enough where if nothing else, it worked, where he's not going to freeze up. And in that sense, he cleared the bar. So I expect him to be better, but honestly, I don't ever expect us to talk about him in the same way we might talk about, wow, like, you know, Greg Olson's revolutionary, or Troy Aikman is just, like, so good at this. Like, I don't see Brady ever hitting that. I'd love him to prove me wrong, though. I think it'd be awesome if he did.
Richard, before we let you go, I am a combat sports fan, so I do want to ask you about the UFC deal. In comes WWE onto ESPN. Out goes UFC. A two-part question for you, Richard. One, how much more mainstream will UFC become as a result of the move to Paramount, especially now that fans will not have to fork over, what, $80 for the numbered pay-per-view events? And how do you think ESPN will cover UFC after this move? Because I'm thinking of when the NHL left ESPN for NBC 20-ish years ago. If I recall correctly, ESPN effectively stopped covering hockey. So do you see something similar playing out here with UFC and ESPN?
Mario Lemieux, who? That was ESPN back in the day. It's a good question. Yeah, I mean, generally, as a cynic, I always tend to sort of play on the side of once you're not a part of the ESPN ecosystem financially, ESPN does forget about you. Now, that doesn't mean total absence of coverage, but, you know, maybe they have one reporter for ESPN.com, covers the major fights. You know, if it's a massive, massive one, maybe SportsCenter throws somebody on or that person goes on First Take for blah, 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 whatever. But, yeah, I would see a reduction of it. I mean, I history tells you that's the case. You saw it with hockey. You've seen it with baseball. So that would be my instinct on ESPN. You know, in terms of like the it's a really good question, actually. Do I think UFC becomes more mainstream because it'll have some airings on CBS and it's not on pay-per-view? Probably. Yeah, I think it will grow a little bit. It's not going to be the NBA, college football, NFL, you know, it's not going to reach that, you know, MLB. It's not going to reach that level. But yeah, I think you might have more casual fans check it out now because the access is better. But here would be my only counter to even what I just said now. I don't watch a ton of UFC, but I certainly watch a lot of WWE and AEW in my life. And if you're into that stuff, you're already paying for it, right? Like you have already made the investment to do that. So I don't know like how many new fans like are going to go to CBS because like they refuse to pay the dollar figures prior for the pay-per-views. I think if you're like in the UFC or you're into combat sports, like you're already there. You've already paid that. But I do think, yeah, I mean, I do think there will be some casuals who check out some stuff, especially if there's a lot of publicity in the same way. Like, you know, NBC gets a great viewership number for the Kentucky Derby every year. And the reason they get that isn't for the horse racing diehards. It's because they get like 9 or 10 million people who kind of just want to check out like 2 hours of the race and see people with hats and see people walking around like, you know, beautiful Kentucky and stuff like that. And I think UFC will benefit a little bit from that. And then the last one, and this is a real caveat, you know, some of it'll be interesting to see what happens with the White House and, you know, how much Trump in particular, who seems to be very tight with Dana White, like how much he or the White House promotes it officially. And there's going to be a fight there, at least that, you know, that's from everything so far. So that would change the calculus. Like, if nothing else, the president of the United States has a massive publicity arm. And if the president of the United States is talking about like a specific fight or talking about a specific pro league, that will add people watching it just based on the fact that it's coming from the most important office in the United States.
Richard Deitch, the Athletic's media reporter, has been our guest on D-Mace, Fingan, and Donick. Richard, great stuff as always. We'll catch up soon.
All right. I'm off to Taylor Swift.
All right. Enjoy. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, Mike Sando's quarterback tiers on The Athletic do not reflect well on the AFC South. Is there an opening for Cam Ward and the Titans to take advantage? We'll discuss that coming up next. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game.